Welcome to First Formation, spiritual exercise for Christian soldiers looking to get the fuck up and pray. Join Pew Pew HQ every weekday morning to hear the good news through grunts and with grunts, in the unity of the Holy Spirit as one church, forever and ever. Fall in.
Psalm 109, verses 21 through 31. But you, O my God, my Lord, deal on my behalf for your name's sake, because your steadfast love is good, deliver me. For I am poor and needy, and my heart is stricken within me. I am gone like a shadow at evening. I am shaken off like a locust. My knees are weak through fasting. My body has become gaunt with no fat. I am an object of scorn to my accusers. When they see me, they wag their heads. Help me, O my Lord. Save me according to your steadfast love. Let them know that this is your hand. You, O Lord, have done it. Let them curse, but you will bless. They arise and are put to shame, but your servant will be glad. May my accusers be clothed with dishonor. May they be wrapped in their own shame as in a cloak. With my mouth I will give thanks to the Lord. I will praise him in the midst of the throng. For he stands at the right hand of the needy one to save him from those who condemn his soul to death. Ezekiel chapter 20, verses 33 through 44. As I live, declares the Lord God, surely with a mighty hand and outstretched arm, and with wrath poured out, I will be king over you. I will bring you out from the peoples and gather you out of the countries where you are scattered. With a mighty hand and an outstretched arm, and with wrath poured out. And I will bring you into the wilderness of the peoples, and there I will enter into judgment with you face to face. As I entered into judgment with your fathers in the wilderness in the land of Egypt, so I will enter into judgment with you, declares the Lord. I will make you pass under the rod, and I will bring you into the bond of the covenant. I will purge out the rebels from among you, and those who transgress against me. I will bring them out of the land where they sojourn, but they shall not enter the land of Israel. Then you will know that I am the Lord. As for you, O house of Israel, thus says the Lord God, go serve every one of you his idols, here, now and hereafter, if you will not listen to me. But my holy name you shall no more profane with your gifts and your idols. For on my holy mountain, the mountain height of Israel, declares the Lord God, there all the house of Israel, all of them, shall serve me in the land. There I will accept them, and there I will require your contributions and the choicest of your gifts. As a pleasing aroma, I will accept you, when I bring you out from the peoples and gather you out of the countries where you have been scattered. And I will manifest my holiness among you in the sight of the nations. And you shall know that I am the Lord when I bring you into the land of Israel, the country that I swore to give to your fathers. And there you shall remember your ways and all your deeds with which you have defiled yourselves. And you shall loathe yourselves for all the evils that you have committed. And you shall know that I am the Lord when I deal with you for my name's sake. Not according to your evil ways, nor according to your corrupt deeds, O house of Israel, declares the Lord God. The Gospel of Luke, chapter 6, verses 6 through 11. On another Sabbath, he entered the synagogue and was teaching, and a man was there whose right hand was withered. And the scribes and the Pharisees watched him to see whether he would heal on the Sabbath, so that they might find a reason to accuse him. But he knew their thoughts, and he said to the man with the withered hand, come and stand here. And he rose and stood there. And Jesus said to them, I ask you, is it lawful to, on the Sabbath, to do good or to do harm, to save life or to destroy it? And after looking around at them all, he said to him, stretch out your hand. And he did so, and his hand was restored. And they were filled with fury and discussed with one another what they might do to Jesus. Good morning and welcome to the 12th Wednesday after Pentecost. This is Brother Logan Isaac broadcasting from Laguna Niguel, California. This morning's readings come to us from Psalm 109, Ezekiel 20, and Luke 6. And we talked a little bit about dangerous language and how we can kind of lose sight of the meaning of a text and lose sight of what the composers of the text intended and were doing. And today there's a similar theme, but slightly different. And I think when I opened up the reflection yesterday. I talked about last week in the build-up to Sunday, where there's this thing about the Sabbath. And the Sabbath is, I don't know, if you ask me, it's not just some liturgical thing. It's, you know, it's fundamental to what it means to be a person of God, and specifically of Yahweh. The command to keep the Sabbath holy is repeated throughout the Old Testament. And it's counterintuitive, because keeping it holy means it's special. You don't do the things on the Sabbath that you do on the other days. And the more legalistic some religions have become, the more requirements and expectations and rules have been put on the Sabbath. So rabbinical Judaism is almost a legal system in and of itself. The halakha and all the different things that Jews are supposed to do, there's something like 75 or 80, I think, that just pertain to the Sabbath. You can't light a fire. You can't. That means you can't start a car. It means you can't start an oven. You have to get help to do all these normal things that you would otherwise do on the Sabbath. And Christianity, on the other hand, when the temple was destroyed, was kind of where rabbinical Judaism went one way from the Israelite tradition, and Christianity went another way. And Paul, or Saul, who's the apostle to the Gentiles and is responsible for a lot of what we now call Christianity, he was, one of his fundamental arguments is like, look, don't do the law and think that that is what needs to be done. The law serves the gospel. The law serves God. You know, don't live and die for the law. If you want to get circumcised, fine, but you don't have to. If you want to, you know, maintain strict food restrictions, fine, but you don't, that's not required anymore. Jesus is the law, and he has fulfilled the law. And that kind of argumentation is necessary because that strict legalism was already there. It had been, I mean, it had been there for, you know, generations and generations. And Paul is deliberately trying to undo it, because when we think that following the law gets us things, the law can become a god instead of Yahweh. And here in the Gospel of Luke, we see how that has happened on the Sabbath. And in other stories, you know, people are, they face the death penalty for violating the Sabbath, for, you know, failing to, in the eyes of some religious purists, failing to keep it holy. And so Jesus takes someone who's obviously in pain and imprisoned by pain and disability and says, look, come here. And he tells everybody, he says to the crowd, hey, what should you do on the Sabbath? Do you do good or do you do harm? Do you save life or destroy it? And destroying it would be to allow his disability, his withered hand, it says, to continue to dominate his life, to make his life more difficult. Is that what holiness is about? Is holiness closed off and restrictive? Or is holiness about life and joy and flourishing? What does the Sabbath make holy? Or what is it that holiness requires? Is it to condemn this man to wait for healing, or is any day a good day for healing, especially the Sabbath? And so he poses this question to the crowd, and they kind of know, despite what, you know, the legalisms of the day, what that everybody would know, you know, don't collect wheat on the Sabbath, don't do this on the Sabbath. Yesterday we had one of the men in the synagogue saying, well, do it on another day, just don't do it on the Sabbath. And so Jesus is directly confronting that, you know, puritanical elitism that says, look, all or nothing, you know, right or wrong, black and white. And then you lose sight of the purpose of things when you follow rules in order to follow rules instead of following rules in order to be good. And everybody, you know, as I said, like despite all the baggage that would have been in place even in Jesus's day, they all kind of know. After looking around, he tells them, or he tells the man to stretch out his hand. And when people were filled with fury and started discussing what they might do to Jesus, it wasn't the crowds. It was the people in power who held power through fear, who held power through control, who held power through unjust means, and obstructed the good news and obstructed the holiness that the Sabbath was made for. And so we need to be careful about confusing law and laws and doing good in order for the sake of appearing good, or doing good for the sake of being good. And I think that distinction kind of breaks or comes into focus when you might not follow a law if the law keeps you from being good. If the law keeps you from doing the very thing that we set up societies to do, right? The easy example is if you're stealing because you're starving, like, is that really stealing? Are you really breaking a rule, or have the rules kind of supplanted God? Jesus says kind of the equivalent of, look, eat bread. Like, don't starve just because somebody tells you that stealing is bad. Starving is bad. And these laws are in place so that nobody has to starve. And if somebody's starving, then we've made the rules God instead of Yahweh God. And the same is true here. The Sabbath has become obscured. Its holiness is lost because holiness has become a god rather than God being God. And so Jesus makes it, abundantly clear. Healing is good. And healing of all days can take place on the Sabbath. That if there's anything that you can do on the Sabbath, it's to save life. It's to do good rather than to do harm.
A prayer for the poor and neglected from the Book of Common Prayer. Almighty and most merciful God, we remember before you all poor and neglected persons whom it would be easy for us to forget, the homeless and the destitute, the old and the sick, and all who have none to care for them. Help us to heal those who are broken in body or spirit, and to turn their sorrow into joy. Grant this, Father, for the love of your Son, who for our sake became poor, Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Thank you for falling in to First Formation, where Pew Pew HQ shares morning prayers for the humble, hardy folk caught in the crosshairs of God and country. If you like what you've heard, you can participate in one of the three following ways. First, you can support the podcast at patreon.com/pewpewhq. You can contribute as little as $1 a month, and you can cancel at any time if I ever piss you off. Second, you can become a co-host by recording a lectionary reading for a future episode. Instructions will be provided, and you don't have to be a grunt to collaborate with Pew Pew HQ in this or any way. Finally, you can also record and send prayer requests of a minute or less. Prayers can be included in an episode, read anonymously if you wish, or kept private for me to pray for off-air. So there you have it, three ways to participate in First Formation. I hope you'll continue to listen, even if I can't convince you to jump in. This has been Brother Logan Isaac, always faithful, always family. Semper Familia.